Hello and welcome to the Rheology Podcast. As you might have already figured out, I'm not Scott, Chris, or Tyler. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brandon, and I'm the new Rheology Podcast producer. I'll be working with Scott, Chris, and Tyler to help create, produce, and direct all of the media content for Rheology. Today we're starting a new mini-series based off the So They Say series called Afterthoughts. Each Afterthoughts episode will elaborate further on the topic it's associated with. This episode, the guys will bring up extra thoughts and extra questions from episode 10, Christians Don't Sin. So welcome. These are the afterthoughts of episode 10.
All right. Well, welcome back. We're kind of doing this new thing now, obviously, with a after show extra deal. And so we're going to talk about some of the things maybe we didn't get a chance to really talk about in the episode, which is episode 10. Which is the idea that Christians don't sin anymore. And we kind of talked about some stuff. And a lot of times we have maybe questions that we didn't quite get to or thoughts that we didn't get to bring up. So in that realm, we're just going to kind of, I'm going to see these two, Chris and Tyler here. Hello. In sunny Burbank, California / South Carolina. It is sunny-ish today, so that's kind of good.
It is not.
Oh,
it's supposed to be cloudy all day, I think.
No, I've not been outside, so okay. I'm not. It's sunny in here.
It's warm. It's very warm.
It's nice and warm. All right, so what you got? What are some thoughts that you guys had after the show?
I'll go first.
Do it.
And this might not be anything. I am still trying to process the thought that God did not create me for perfection.
Okay.
Wait, unpack. What are you talking about?
I think in the last episode, I was even struggling to grasp the idea that the Garden of Eden wasn't necessarily perfect. God created these things that I thought had always been perfect. The point was for them to be perfect. And Adam and Eve, or me, I screwed all of that up.
Right.
But now, perfection was never the point.
Yes.
And then is perfection the point now? That's where my head is going.
Okay.
As a Christian, like, am I supposed to aim for perfection? Is that what God requires?
What do you actually believe?
What do you mean? Am I supposed to be perfect?
Yeah. So you would say in your personal life, walk in relationship with God, you're still striving to be perfect.
I know the majority of my life was that.
Right.
I do not believe that anymore. No way.
So what is it now?
It is realizing that God has perfected me, and I'm living my life out of that, knowing that He's not expecting my actions to be perfect.
Okay, so
He looks at me and He sees me for how He sees me.
So is your question then, am I actually perfect now? Now that I have this, like, redeemed relationship with God, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that can't. I wasn't necessarily. No, it was very. It's much more open ended. Okay. Like, if I don't have to be perfect anymore, I don't have to strive for that standard. What do I do? Right, because there's still this understanding that Jesus wants us to hit a mark. But what is that mark? Like, humans need, like, direction, right? We need, like, this vision of what we're meant to, this purpose, right? So what is our purpose now? If our purpose is not perfection, then what is it?
Well, actually, okay. So what we need to do is we need to go back and, like, restructure vocabulary here.
Yeah,
Because really what's happening is...
I'm getting it all wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that, as we've said before, it's that Western culture of Christianity that says you got to do this and this and this in order to get to heaven.
Correct.
Because you don't want to go to hell.
Yes.
And that is not the story of the Bible at all. That has nothing to do with the story of the Bible. So the thought of, like, you know, the Garden of Eden, because I put a poll out as well on the social stuff, and, like, overwhelmingly, because the question was like, did God create Adam and Eve? Were Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve were created by God in Eden, were they perfect? And overwhelmingly, right. People say yes.
They have to be.
Two-thirds of the people in this room said yes.
Two-thirds said yes. That's overwhelming. Majority got ruled and said, you're wrong, Scott. So the thing is, though, it's a defining of terms here at this point. So the main thing to understand is that we're going to talk about, this is the Greek word teleos. Teleos is the Greek word for perfect. And this is in Matthew 5:48, where Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, right? So unfortunately, as we have tended to do for centuries, is that we continue to use language that was written 500 years ago. When we talk about William Tyndale and stuff like that, and his translation was like earth shattering.
Yeah, he's making up words.
He created words and language that like went even deeper in meaning than what they were really kind of used to at that point. So, but as revolutionary as they were, you know, we're 500 years removed from that.
Yeah.
So maybe the English word perfect isn't the right word to use in this scenario, because when we think of the word, immediately when you think of the word perfect, you mean you think that nothing is wrong with
flawless.
It. It's flawless, yeah. Right? And only a handful of things really in life could we ever like find that are actually perfect.
Right.
Right. And we can say that like maybe
our wives,
of course,
our wives are perfect. Even though they're not, we think they are. That's all that matters. That's the thought that matters. But like, if we looked at like nature, we're like, man, look at this. This is so perfect and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The reality is nature is not perfect. We could look at trees, the trees outside, and go, man, look at these things are like, it's, creations is perfect. You know, look at these trees. The reality is that trees die. So they can't be absolutely perfect because they have a shelf life. So that would kind of go against the idea of that English word and the understanding of what you just said, Tyler, of like, there are no flaws. There are flaws in creation. There are flaws in everything. Even if you went and grabbed the most perfect diamond, I don't know what that is at this point, that would have like, like these experts would look at it with these microscopes and go like, there are no flaws in this thing whatsoever. There probably are at a microscopic level. Sure. There are, but to the human eye, there are no seemingly flaws, but the reality is there has to be.
Right.
So with humanity and in the idea of Adam and Eve, they were created for a purpose, in my opinion. And the purpose is not to be flawless.
Yeah.
Or as we said, like the idea that the word sin means failure, that they are meant to be without sin, that they are meant to be without any kind of failure. They were not created that way. Why? Because they failed.
Mm.
And if they were created that way and they failed, then God doesn't exist. Because we can start backtracking that, right. Like God was not a man of his word. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know everything. How can he be God? That's where it kinds to go crazy. So the reality is that God did not create us to be flawless or without any kind of failure or without the, as we said, the propensity to fail. Right. He created us for a purpose. And the purpose is this Greek word, the Greek idea of teleos, which means more along the idea of brought to its end, finished, complete.
Okay.
And the reality is
but then it says perfect.
It says perfect, yes, but not in like the idea that we, but that's the third, that's the third and fourth idea of it. Its first real original idea is to finished. Is to bring something to a completion. Right. To bring it to a completion. And when God creates Adam and Eve, as we were kind of joking with, you know, Chris, like doing a sculpture and stuff like that, you get to a point where like, if you go too far in creating this sculpture out of marble or whatever, Chris could just like go, that nose just doesn't look right. And one small little tink and like the nose falls off and now it's ruined. So God is the God of knowing when enough is enough. And he, only he knows that, because he knows if I go a little too far here, I'm going to mess this up. And I don't want to mess this up. I want to bring it to a point where it's enough. Because the reality is what God is planning to do with Adam and Eve is to bring them to completion eventually. So if you want to use the word perfection or perfect, we can, as long as we understand it in these terms, in this context, that we're not talking about, I'm going to bring you to a point of absolute and complete, you know, flawlessness. No, I'm going to bring you to a point of being complete.
Well, I think this is where a lot of people like lose the plot, because I think this is why what we're doing is really important, because now we can look back and see what is the story, what's the intent, what's like the original like purpose of the writings, right? Because I think a lot of times when people go back to Genesis and we interject our own views of like perfection, mm-hmm. right? For us, it's like perfection is like being completely, well, whatever, it's our own definition of perfection, right? But mm-hmm. what you're saying is like God's definition of perfection has to do with more like purpose,
yeah,
and like why he created it, yeah. which makes it perfect, and like the what he's trying to do, which comes to completion, is what his purpose, intentionality of doing all of this was. But for us, we sometimes say, no, it's about being flawless, whatever, right?
Well,
it's our
perfection. Whatever, our perfection is usually dependent on what we do,
yeah,
like our
yes,
actions.
Yeah,
God is saying that's not what I'm talking about,
because from the very beginning, he's like, it's not about being without sin. Because I made you, he made us with the ability to be flawed,
yeah.
good,
right.
right? Because he wants to be God. He wants to be the Savior. He wants to bring us into this relationship that we're dependent on him.
Right.
So that would be perfection, right? Yeah. I think that's when the whole point is more of this relationship with the Creator rather than just don't screw up my creation. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we think it's don't screw it up. I made this perfect thing for you. Just don't screw it up.
Yep.
Right. And when you do, just ask for forgiveness and maybe I'll let you play again in this perfect world. But that wasn't the point, right? I think that's what we're seeing. It was more about the idea of what was God's purpose in all of this. And most of the times we always get it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
really easy to get it wrong.
Yes.
I think if we, because we are going to fight and battle this Western mentality of Christianity, which is like, I have to do this, this, and this to get to here. Or even I have to do this, this, and this to get to God, which takes me to there.
Yeah.
And the reality is like when you think of the idea of something being complete, to me, my mindset immediately goes to something that is a process. Right? It's a process of being, something had to go through this and this and this and this to get to here. When I think of the word of like the idea of being seen as perfect, and we just kind of joked about it, like with our wives, right? The idea that.
You were joking?
Well, I mean, no, not joking that we see the perfect. But the the reality is that Chris means in my eyes, she's perfect,
which
translates perfectly into what. The idea of like flawless or, you know, all those kinds of ideas, Christian stuff of like, in whose eyes?
Right.
Flawless in whose eyes?
Right.
In my eyes?
Yeah.
That doesn't really mean a whole lot. But so the idea is that your purpose in this life is to be one in partnership with God. Mm-hmm. That is our purpose. Our purpose is to be one in partnership with God, with him as the creator and us as the created. And then because those two things come together, then all of a sudden perfection enters into this scenario. Because that's what we talked about as well, right? It's like, when was Eden actually perfect? The only time it was perfect was when the only thing that really truly is absolutely perfect came in.
Mm.
And he made that perfect. And then that the idea of being finished or complete then makes you go, okay, I now get it. Because like I think there is going to be a point when everything will be absolutely complete. It'll be at the end of the process, right? But just because we're not at the end of the process and we're maybe somewhere in the middle doesn't mean that we're not already engaged in the process.
Right.
Sure.
Right. It's almost as if like people think it's another Western idea is like at some point Jesus will come back and take his people with him. Right. And then that's the kingdom of God.
Right.
And the reality is like Jesus made it very, 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 very clear that the kingdom of heaven had already come.
It's here.
And it's here because of him. And so it's hard because we do think that God made perfection. Because like it's like that old mentality, like God don't make no junk, you know? And like he doesn't make junk. He doesn't, well, I mean, even junk probably has a purpose, but anyway,
yes.
He makes things on purpose. He has a plan and he doesn't do things out of like nothingness because that's not what God is. God isn't void or without meaning. He is with meaning and he's not devoid. So with Adam and Eve, there is purpose. With human beings, there is purpose, but the purpose isn't to make it like flawless and set it up on a shelf somewhere and hey look everybody check out this my diamond that has no flaws apparent no flaws in it. No, that's not the point. The point is unity.
Yeah.
And so the only way to really truly get unity is to insert free will because he's willing and he steps to the middle and I is waiting for us to be willing to step to the middle as well. And then those two things go hand in hand. And that's why we talk a lot about like the keeping in the step of the Spirit thing, which we've mentioned a lot, because that's really important. That's like our role. And if we could start to look at this as more of a, you know, a marriage instead of religion, I think a lot of things will start to like make way more sense. And like maybe like that's some of the verbiage that needs to be changed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, well, to help it understand.
Even in, I forgot what it is, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, it talks about like we're his workmanship, right? He's like so proud of us, like for all generations to see. But before that, it's we're his like prized possession because he has completed us, right? Because like we were unable to do it and he was able to come in and be with us and perfect us or whatever. It's the like he made us whole because him dwelling with us is what he wanted. And that is what makes us his workmanship. Not that we did anything on our part.
Yeah.
The part we played was being in relationship with him or believing that he wants to be in a relationship with us and then joining him in that union. But I think that is what makes us like come together. The completion, right? Is when we come together with him. Not that we have to do all these things to make us worthy for him to come to rescue us, right? It's just simply like, I need you, God. And then he comes in and says, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's why I created you.
Yeah.
You just think of the nature of the relationship.
Yeah.
The nature of the relationship is a creator and the created. And they can't be the creator if there's no created.
But it's the created
and the created can't be created without a creator.
The created that is supposed to be like that needs God, that needs a creator. Yeah,
its purpose,
right? Its purpose,
it's
purpose. Is to need
it's
it.
Equal purpose. It's a symbiotic relationship where both people, where both parties. It's like people would say all the time about like, well, don't make the gospel about you. Who's it supposed to be about?
Yeah, right.
Jesus came to the earth for himself? Right. No. God made this all happen for himself?
Yeah.
No. I mean, there are two main roles being played out in this drama. Okay, so I was thinking to myself, I wonder what Greek word is behind the phrase when Jesus says on the cross before he dies, it is finished. Huh. I can already tell you what that is right there. It's the word teleo, which is the key part. It's the verb, which basically means to finish. It's the root from teleos. It's the same idea. So be finished as God is finished. Be complete as God is complete. Yeah.
That changes the whole.
Right.
So, okay. So I'm going to send us to different direction.
Do it.
I was listening to Bible Project podcast. And
oh boy.
I'm not an expert, right? I'm just trying to parrot what I heard. Because this I heard the idea of like the snake, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the serpent in Genesis, it talks about now the serpent was different from all the other creatures that God created in the field, right? Mm-hmm. The beast, right? Okay. So it's already different, mm-hmm. right?
Where are we going?
So, and Eve isn't like freaked out, like, oh, this snake is talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I think there's this idea that there are these other like heavenly beings already in existence
okay.
in Eden, right? That's why when it talks to her, it is different from just like a normal snake or a cow or whatever, right?
Which wouldn't be talking.
Which would probably wouldn't be talking,
sure.
right? But then it's the idea that the serpent wasn't necessarily this like, let's like mess up all of God's problems, mm. right? I don't know if that was exactly the intent, but like the way the lie that was fed to Eve was, hey, like you could live forever. Or you could have the knowledge of good and evil
mm-hmm.
So that you wouldn't be a burden to God.
Yeah.
Right? It would almost like, hey, you could help God out by just having this stuff by yourself. Right? You wouldn't have to be reliant on God anymore. That way, you could just like help him out in a mm-hmm. way. And then later on, it talks about the Nephilim, the
half-breeds.
Yeah, the half-breeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I
the
think,
giant people?
Yeah, the giant people. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible Project, people were talking about how in a weird way, you could see them trying to marry and breed with humans so that they could live forever. Because their purpose, they think the point was that they could live forever. Or to like help God out by saying, like, what I'm saying is, I think they had a different perspective of the purpose of God, right? And what perfection is and what completion is. And it's almost like they were trying to do that on their own way. And God was like, okay. No, that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send the flood to kill all of you. And I could totally like, normal. Do it again. So, but the idea is, again, this is, I don't know enough information to go further than what I just went. But I think the idea, again, is like the idea that we oftentimes take we make up our own definition of like perfection and what God's plan is for us. Mm-hmm. But I think we always have to be reminded of like how God actually works, right? So with like sin and stuff, if you're Tyler, I'm pointing at Tyler.
Yeah, they see that now.
I know. Should we talk about that? We haven't addressed that yet. If our like conception of God is that he made everything perfect, we screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
But now the point is to be perfect again, the way he had intended it to be,
mm-hmm.
right? That means without sin. Mm-hmm. So the point of Christianity now is don't sin.
Exactly.
Right? And so if that is your understanding of how it all worked from the beginning, it's going to be completely warped experience. It'll be like a horrible Christianity. It'll be a horrible experience for you
mm-hmm.
because you keep on sinning and you keep letting down like God and like-
And yourself. And the people around
right?
you.
Yeah. And so this is like the identity part that we talked about too. Is there is this conflict of I hate the person I am because God expects me to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? The expectation God has on me is to believe in all the things, the good things about himself so that I can be the best version of myself, right? But I'm always falling to I'm always like missing the mark and I hate myself for that,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's like, you almost like hate who you are because you have this expectation that God is like, you're better than this. Be this better version of you. And that's also a twisted version of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. It is. It goes back to what we talked about with the doctor and the sick, right? I mean, this is the idea of the symbiotic relationship because that's not what Jesus is saying in Matthew 5. He's not telling everybody that they have to be flawless and they don't, you know, even though he does tell people go and sin no more. It's not necessarily the idea that he's just asking everybody to physically not do that. He's asking everybody ultimately Jesus's goal is to get people to follow, right? To enter into this symbiotic relationship where, you know, if you do sin, it's a good thing you know the doctor, right? If you fail, if you hurt yourself again, it's a good thing you have a relationship with an intimate relationship.
Yeah, because the doctor would heal you, and then he would also say, try not to do
this. Why did you jump off this roof?
You should probably, didn't wash your hands after cutting up chicken, let's try not to do that
again. It
might be the same kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's exactly that. And I think the whole mentality of it's Western culture again, Western religious culture again. It's literally, and I've heard Tyler say this, it's like it's all about trying to get your tickets punched. So at the very end, you got, see, I got my tickets punched. Oh, I was good here and here and here and here and here and here, and I got my free ride right here. I finally punched my free ride, and now I get to get on the train.
Yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, Jesus and God both are like, you missed the whole point of this, because guess what? This is where the Lord part comes in of the Gospels, of like, yes, you know, you said Lord, that's nice, but I never knew you.
Yeah.
You may have done all of the right things, and you did. And that's the gospel that we have perpetuated, unfortunately, for a long time, is that like ticket punch kind of deal.
Well, it's almost like a twice a year free checkup to the doctor, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost, this is the bad version, right? Because now we created the relationship where, like, I go to the doctor and they're like, well, you're morbidly obese. Do you walk 20 minutes a day? Like, what kind of food do you eat?
Right.
Okay, crap. Okay, I got to fix my lifestyle. So I go and I diet and I run and do all these things by myself and come back, like, what about now? Yeah, and be like, hey, you did a great job. Good job. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And then another 6 months, I come back, right? Like, that is how we've seen this thing of, like, God, of, like, God tells me what to do or what I'm doing wrong, and I fix it by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And there is actually no relationship with the doctor.
Right.
But I believe the doctor exists, and he'll tell me if I'm off track or on track.
Right. Yeah. Which goes along with the whole BIBLE, basic instruction before leaving Earth.
That's right.
These are all the instructions and things you need to go and do. And it's not really a love story at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's we have a God that is up there, and he's got, you know, he's taking record of everything Chris does today. Oh, no, he didn't do that. No. Oh, well, that's okay. Well, okay. Oh, man, no. And he's doing all this checklist stuff. And the problem is, that is not what God is doing. That's not how God operates. That's not who he is. And at the end of the day, he's off doing something else, and we're thinking he's watching me specifically, and I got to do all these right things, and I end up missing the boat.
Yeah.
Let me share this of what I was reading this morning as part of my little, like, devotion kind of stuff. And it was all on the idea of repentance. And I think this really fits really, really well, because, again, we got this word that's been around for a long time, and the devotion is even talking about, like, it's seen in a negative context. I mean, of course it is, you know, repent, because we use it that way, or, you know, burn, turn or burn, repent. And the reality is that the word repent really is a word that describes a reaction, an action, a reaction, where you're walking, you're literally walking in one direction, right? And then you stop and you turn completely around and you walk in the opposite direction. That's what repentance means. It doesn't mean I'm sorry. You know, just say you're sorry. It doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to go and do these Hail Marys, or I'm going to give donate to, you know, charities or whatever. It's literally means that you are living your life in a specific way that fits right along with what the world does. But there comes a point where you realize that this potentially is not what I should be doing with my life. And maybe there's another way. Maybe there's another way. And then I turn around and I go the opposite, and I follow a different path, the opposite. And that's what Jesus, ultimately, that's really what Jesus' message is, right? It's like, you have been following the ways of humanity and they seem right to you. Everybody else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it. And it seems right. It looks right. I'm gonna do this. I mean, you know, even my friends are encouraging. Yeah, man, you got problems. Oh, just get on Indeed and find a new job. God'll, you know, God He likes those who go and help themselves, yeah. right? That's that mentality. Mm-hmm. He helps those that help themselves. And the reality is, no, God helps those who look at their lives and go, I cannot help myself. And even if I could, I don't, it's not the way to do things. And God's ways are different. That's why Jesus says so many different times, you've heard it said this, I'm telling you this. I'm just trying to get you to change your perspective. Instead of living life like this, I want you to live life God's way. And that means then entering into the symbiotic relationship yes. where you do things God's way instead of your way or human way and whatever.
But I think a lot of times people believe, right? So this is where I think we're helping a lot of students this year. And I'm discovering this too, because people always think there's this battle of like what I want to do and what God wants to do, right? But what I've learned is that because of this new covenant God has entered with us, right? I think we talked about this in the episode, like he is dwelling within us now, right?
Mm-hmm.
His spirit is with me, right? Because that is what, I mean, the whole point was that he can finally dwell with his people.
Yes.
Yeah,
because God of that, us. Because of that, there is no sin that is counted against me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And including his, so his laws are now written on my heart, right? So now he's saying that like,
Your identity is complete.
Your identity is complete because I am with you and there's nothing that could ever separate me from you again. So you can now like, you no longer have a sinful nature, right? You can trust that I'm with you and your desires are actually changed. Will you still want to sin? Yes. Right, because the world around us is
we still live physically in the same place.
So people say you should do this, but there is this inside voice that is of God that you have now new desires. And a lot of people though, we tell them don't trust your desires because your heart is deceiving amongst all things. That was true at a time,
yep.
right? But now that God has entered with us, a union with us, he's saying my desires are your desires. Now it's just learning like to listen to those desires.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's still this battle with flesh.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Is not of yourself.
Right.
That's the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people haven't heard this concept that you can actually listen to your inner desires, because that's good. Once you join union with God, right? And he is with us, with you. You can listen to your innermost desires because that is of God.
Yeah, the idea of listening to your heart is a dangerous thing, because if your heart is not in tune with God's heart,
yeah.
if your heart has not been replaced with God's heart, then that can lead you in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
If your heart has been transplanted and then
you have
your
heart
is now God's heart, you can listen to that heart. Ultimately, it's understanding that the guiding, presence in your life is not based upon human thinking or human ways anymore. It's God's thinking, God's ways, God's heart. And, that's what brings that symbiotic relationship together and makes it, good.
Yes.
And as that relationship continues to grow, it eventually will become complete. And, so, that's why we really need to like have a different word than perfect to go all the way back, right? It's just incredibly misleading.
Yeah.
If not, it's very, very misleading. And it very quickly puts somebody on that path.
Mm-hmm.
Like your students would go like, oh, I got to do all these things.
Yes.
And, I don't even really know this guy,
yes,
I got to do all these things for him. I don't, But when you flip that with the reality, which is like he just wants you to live with him, allow God to be, with you, God with us. And once you do that, you realize that God is not this rule keeper up there.
Yeah.
He's a God of love.
Yeah.
He wants you to treat other people well.
Yeah.
He wants you to love your enemies.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty decent God to be in symbiotic relationship with. It's a big one, man. I mean, because there's a lot of there's a lot of history you got to eliminate, unfortunately. You got to get through a lot of, this Western culture as far as Christianity goes, is like really, really thick with time. And it's a thick, thick, thick layer that you have to penetrate and to reteach. And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
But specifically with something like this, just the nature of the relationship itself is not one of, you know, God saying, you need to be doing these things if you want to even get close to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even once you're in the relationship with me, right? Because it's still not.
Well, they're still keeping in step. That's the nature of the relationship. Yes. It's like, again, if we just look at it as a marriage, you can't have a marriage if both parties are not engaged in the marriage.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the relationship. Those are the terms, really. So if you're, you know, it's like the seed, the parable of the seed that Jesus teaches in Matthew. It's the idea of like, I'm putting seed out here and there. There's potential for growth.
Right.
But if the soil isn't right, and that honestly, that's dependent on me and you.
Right. But I think a lot of people believe that it's because it's not a 50-50 relationship.
No.
Right. Because like, it's not like I have to do my part and then God will do my part. I think a lot of times people think the point of Christianity is that I have to do my part in it. But my part in it,
then, and that equals religion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That equals religion. So I think
because can you do a marriage 50%?
You can. Yeah, you can. Terrible.
Yes. Yeah. You can.
Well, yeah, but at the end, it won't be a marriage. So therefore, really, no.
Yeah. Sure. And so
I think, it is 100%. Megan's putting in 100%. She better be.
Right.
You better be putting in 100%.
Of course, she is. She's perfect.
Yeah, she's perfect.
But the difference is right again, like. I continue to fail Megan, and Megan continues to fail me.
Right.
But it doesn't. That doesn't happen in our marriage with God, because it's always more one sided than the other. That's what I'm saying. It's like, but people think like because God is so good, I have to be like
match him.
Yeah, I have to match him. And the whole point of the Christianity is to be a good husband or wife to God, right? but through our lens of being a good husband and wife.
Yeah.
When the whole setup was, you're good, but you're not perfect. And I didn't design you to be perfect.
Yeah.
I designed you to be good, and I complete you.
Right.
So let me redeem you. Let me not count your sins against you.
Yeah.
Let me produce good work.
There's a missing part.
Yes.
I'm it.
Yes.
Because, and if we come together, then we're working our way towards perfection, towards completeness.
Because the fruits of the Spirit isn't me.
Right.
It's the fruit of the Spirit result. In me.
It's the result of the relationship.
Right. So it's still not me producing these good things. It's
which
my
again
new heart.
Could be the exact same thing of a marriage.
Yes.
If the marriage is like fruitful, it's because the marriage is healthy and it's functioning the way that it's supposed to function.
So I think a lot of times, to what you were talking about before, sin is a huge issue that people don't know how to like. What to do with it, right? And I think this conversation helping of like changing what perfection is also helping us deal with like how sin plays in our life.
Yeah.
Right. I think it is not about eliminating sin. It is more of like, there is this thing called sin that affects, there are consequences in this world that comes from our sins, missing the mark with people and God.
Right.
But when it comes to God, He is not counting those things against us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think
he's not
saying
try harder.
No,
it's more of like this is the nature of the relationship.
It's not try harder. It's basically just abide in me.
Yeah, remember,
right? If you just come and if you abide in me and we continue this relationship, everything's going to work out fine because that's the goal. The goal is to work it out to completion. And I think the big thing is to kind of finalize this thought is that if we can know and understand that perfection didn't happen in the beginning and it doesn't happen the moment that we meet God or whatever, it doesn't happen that way. We're still, as we said the last time, we're still cars on the assembly line. There's no way that the makers of these cars are saying, these cars are going to last forever. No.
Yeah.
Even like Toyota or Honda or whatever, it makes some of the best, long lasting cars. They even say these things will last a long time with maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
They'll last a long time, but will they last forever? No, they break down. We were created with that propensity to break down, and nothing's going to change that until completion happens, when it is complete. Yeah. And that only happens with the symbiotic relationship with the healer, with the creator. Hey, thanks a lot for taking a listen to the extras that we brought up today. If you have any extra ideas, thoughts, or questions about episode 10, you know what? We'd really love to hear them. You can simply reach out to us via the website, which is reologylife.com. And right on the homepage is a contact form. You can fill it out and send us your thoughts. Or you can just message us via our Instagram account, which is reology_life. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.